told to take this rock, this reed, all right, and measure it. And yet it was like a rock. And I don't know whether it's kind of strange. It was given reed like unto a rock. So it's a reed. It's a tall kind of glass, huh? Grass. So it looks like a rock. And then sometimes vision, you see how it changes. You understand what I mean? Like you see a lion next moment, you see a lamb, that sort of thing. So it's a transition thing. So it's a reed which is used, of course, it's salt, which is, there must have a certain length. Like in those days, nowadays I don't think that you can buy cane in the market just to cane children. Alright, in those days, yeah, you can really buy cane, huh? Not feather duster cane, but cane. So they always have a certain length. And I think that I am not mistaken that the cane that is used to cane the criminal in Singapore is a meter long. I believe it's a meter long. If I'm not mistaken, it's a meter long, right, Brother Kirby? It's a meter long. It's 3.3 something feet. Right? So it's a meter long. So now the reed, I don't know if God it's obvious of it's a certain length, but when John took the reed, it became like a rod. So it was used to measure it. So it's a measurement of chastening. Alright, so, and it was told to measure, you look at it, measure in verse 1, measure the temple of the Lord and the altar and then the worship therein. Who are the people that worship in this temple? They are the children of Israel. You understand that? So the measuring is that this measuring rod is a measuring of chastening the people of Israel. For how long? Of course, it is not stated here, but we can see later on how long they were chastened, right? You understand that, okay? And of course, the next verse says, but the court which is outside the temple lead out, and that measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles and the city wherein they, where holy city shall get trip underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, including sackcloth. Now, if you look at this chart here, we realize that the measurement, as it says here, leave out the outer court. Don't measure it. It's left to the Gentiles to tread underfoot. Okay? So, we know that it's a 42 months. It has to be the first 42 months where there will be peace. You understand that? And it is also stated that two witnesses would testify or prophesy 1,260 days, which is 42 months. You got it? So it has to be it's in this first part of Daniel's 70th week. Alright, it goes on to say in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And so you realize that, of course, that the two witnesses, the way they describe here, has to be Elijah and Moses, as we already said last week. Now, what would transpire to go into this period of the 17th week of Daniel is, as you know, that we are living in this last part of the closing of the church age. You all agree with that? And I don't see how many more years that we can actually go. Because I'm looking at myself, I'm looking at Israel. When I look at Israel, I look at myself. Okay, Israel is 48, so I'm 48. Alright. Now, I'm 65 years old, coming out next year. And they are going to be 65. Alright? 5 more years, I'll be 70. They'll be 70 also. So 70 is always a good number in the Bible. You understand? So, and you can see what Jesus prophesied of concerning, the sign in the tribulation he talks about in Matthew 24 concerning the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. And you know that from the day that Jesus was born to the day that the temple was destroyed was 17 years. Alright? So from the day that we will look at how Israel became a nation again. Alright? It's 1948. So, if with Christ coming the next, 70 years from that day, from that year, and which will be another 5 years to go. Isn't that right? But there are, of course, prophetic students who believe that it is not calculated from 48. It must calculate from 67. Because why? If only a 67, where you have 6 days war, then Israel took back the holy ground. You see, so they consider the holy ground, they are not considering the nation of Israel. But when Jesus was born, I want just to just give you a picture. When Jesus was born, the angel came to Herod, the birth of Christ, alright? And they came and, as the song said, we have the angel saying, glory to the newborn king, right? And the angels told them, today is born in the city of David. Right? Is that right? Huh? So, if we said that the child was born to the nation of Israel, and Jesus was not born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem. So, if we were saying that the child was born to save the children of Israel, so likewise, when Israel took back the land of Israel, and they have a rebirth. You understand? A rebirth. A nation was formed in one day, as was prophesied. So, on May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation. So, it's the nation we're talking about. Are we talking about the nation, or are we talking about the temple? But when we are talking about the nation, when Jesus was born to the destruction of the temple, when Israel was rebirth to the building of the temple, we want to see a picture of that sort. You understand? It's not from a temple to destruction of a temple. Because when Jesus came and was born, the temple already was there. Do you understand? So it is the birth of the Messiah to the destruction of the temple. So it is the birth of the nation, or Israel, because Israel, the name Israel means Prince of God. Is that right? And Jesus is called Messiah, the Prince. Isn't that right? So when we talk about that, for the rebirth of Israel to the setting up of the Millennium Temple. You got it? So we will have to say that it's the rebuilding. In 70 AD, it was a destruction. They destroyed it. But we were looking at the second one, the rebuilding the Millennium Temple. You understand? Now, the rebuilding of the Millennium Temple may take a couple of years. But as you all know in the study of the Scripture, every time a people of God settle down a place to dwell, they will always set up an altar. You understand? When they set up an altar and they offer sacrifice to God, that is considered already a worship. Right? You understand that? You see? So when the children of Israel, when they were in Babylon, and when Cyrus did the decree that they can go back, they can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, so they went down. The first thing what they do is to put an altar there. You understand? An offering sacrifice. Because that must be the starting, like you want to build a house, you have to have a foundation. Do you get it? Alright, in the temple, the first thing they do is that they have a sacrifice, an altar. You got it? Alright, so we want to see that picture. If they have 67, now that's going to be too long. Wouldn't it be too long? You will be 2000 and what? Wow, I'd be a great-grandfather. Great-great-grandfather, or something like that. It'll be too long, isn't it? Well, how many years extra would that be? And that will be at least another 19 years. And then 19 years, that means to say that I will be almost 90 years old. Wouldn't it be? Wow, I'm just getting too old. Now, Brother Gandhi? And Sister Aggie suddenly wanted to meet the Lord in the air, right? We're all looking forward to the Lord seeing Him in the air. Amen. Alright, so, let's go. So, now, when we talk about this period of time that we are here, now, once the church is taken off, but what we are looking at right now today is Brother Pierre was telling me something that he was telling me last 2 days ago. what he saw on television, you know, I can't remember who was he talking about. Between a religious guy and a political guy, how, you know, grown old men coming together, like each other, you know, pet each other, having peace and so on. Yeah. Even now what we see in the Middle East, there's all this conflict going on in Syria, and overspilling into Lebanon, you know, and yet Lebanon almost get into trouble, but somehow this talk about getting peaceful between the Muslim and the Catholic, you know. And so trying to have peace, and sort of thing. And let us look into the book of 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3. Now, right at this moment in time in Israel itself. Now, how many of you have seen the a picture of the temple area of Jerusalem? Well, you have seen it because I've been teaching in the last several months back, right? Isn't it? Now, you know the city of Jerusalem, yeah, there's a wall around it. Big wall. It's on top of a hill called Mount Zion. Now, in that city, you can see, well, every time you, when people show you the picture of Jerusalem, you always see the Dome of the Rock. I used to pronounce it as Doom of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock, you know, the Golden Dome, that's the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where, you know, it's supposed to be, as the Muslim claim that Muhammad sacrificed Ishmael. And also, from, if I'm not mistaken, that's where Muhammad wrecked his wife, the horse, and went off someplace. I think it's from that same place. Alright, now, originally everybody thought, and argued, and for years, for very students in Israel, always think that that was the place where the temple must be built. And therefore, that building must be destroyed. That's why several years back, you know, some of these Jewish extremists, Orthodox group, wanted to bring it back, wanted to build up the Millennium Temple, or the temple as they see in the book of Ezekiel. So they wanted to, create trouble and bring that down and all that. And of course, the government of Israel would not allow that. You see, in Israel, the Orthodox group is creating a lot of problem too. So, and we were thinking that, of course, if the earthquake is going to take place, that temple might come down. Right? Because mosque must come down, according to what, so that in any way, if it comes down, nobody is to be blamed. It's the act of God. Right? But the problem now is that they discovered the site 150 feet north of this Dome of the Rock. You understand? Now, if you know how the... Oh, I should have given you the chart or the picture of it. But try to imagine if you can. The city of Jerusalem, down the southern part here, is the Dome. Alright? On the north, if you're looking at what I'm showing you, on this side here is facing east, from where you are looking at. That is the eastern gate. Right? But the Dome of the Rock is in the southern part. So now we know that the eastern gate is always mentioned in the Bible. And it is mentioned even in the book of Ezekiel that the priest must come through there. So it cannot be at the lower part. And the eastern gate is closed at this time. It's being sealed up. Why? Because the prophecy was there. And I believe somebody out there who was against the prophecy, back in those days they said it was the Muslim or somebody on the church or whatever, sealed up the gate so that prophecy would not come true. You got it? So now, after archaeology has done a lot of research, you know, they have been going on, archaeology has been going to Jerusalem, Israel, so many places to dig. And so they found that the place that actually the temple was actually built, it was destroyed, was actually north, 150 feet north of this Dome of the Rock. And exactly when they draw a plan of the temple, It actually faced east. The entrance of the temple facing east. So now it is true that they know that, and they want to do it. And if Israel wanted to build a temple right there and there, they have no problem, because it's their land. You understand? But still, there will be always an issue with the Muslim or the Palestinian or Hamas group or whatever people that are there, you know. And of course, the Palestinian is, they are good Palestinian, they are Christian Palestinian there too, they are good Palestinian Muslim, but they are also those extremists. And you know, rock has been thrown over, and they throw Morocco cocktail, you know, and whatever, trying to kill each other, you know. So if the temple is there in the north, 150 feet north of the Dome of the Rock, if they want to build it, no problem, as I said. But we need to realize that God is controlling the whole thing. The time will come only when God allows it. You understand that? Okay? So now, while they're talking about peace, 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 and all this, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5, verse 3 says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, has prevailed upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Alright? Chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. In the Old Testament, Haggai. It's one of the minor prophets, almost at the end of the Old Testament, but section. Okay? "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." There's going to be a shaking. In fact, Peter talked about a great shaking. God is shaking the river right now. That's not why they did. You see, in every place in the world today, the political system, in many countries, yes, there's a lot of shaking. You know what's happened over in America? You know, the recent poll, there is a shaking over who they want to vote. Right. Myanmar, China, there's a lot of shaking over in many countries. And many times we don't know about it because we don't take or read the paper, we don't bother to know about, to hear from the news, media. And then the military, yeah, of course. Religion, everywhere there's problem too. And we see in Christianity, we find that there is so much shaking even in Pentecostal circle, charismatic circle. And there are people that are fed up with their own system, with where the church they came from, they attend. So many of them are separating themselves, create a new one, or become independent. That's why even in Singapore, we have a lot of house fellowship. You know. And everybody, young men or men who feel that they think that they know the Bible, make themselves a leader of a house group. You know, they say, "Oh, God called them," and all this. And charismaticism and Pentecostalism especially, they are propagating that God wants everyone to be a preacher, it seems. God wanted to be a witness, not wanting to be a preacher. And a witness is different being a preacher. That means your life is a witness. You share with people the gospel, yes. But to start a church, just before you cause somebody want to start a church. You know. And many times people are going into the permissive will of God, not knowing that it isn't God's will. You understand? You see? And so, God allows all those things to be. But we must understand that there is a perfect will of God. And in the perfect will of God, the road is straight and narrow. Not a broad road and a wide gate. It's always a narrow and straight. You see? And that's why people don't consider a lot of things important that which we know as important to God and to our life. you know. The Bible is your roadmap, so we use it. Use it very constantly. Not just use it only just when you want something, you just flip it here or go to church, carry it with us, and that's about it. You need to study the roadmap as often as you can. Not just in the church, not just now, but also at home, when you're alone, when you're meditating. You need to study so that you know the plan and the purpose of God, the roadmap, what God is doing, where He leads us, how He is leading us. So you will not be caught by surprise. You understand? I was reading your letter, your old letter in my file. There are several hundreds, even probably 1,000, 2,000 letters in my files, boxes, you know, letters that I kept since the beginning of my ministry, back in the 70s, and all the things that transpired. Now, in one of this letter I read, and because there was some problem with this brother from Norway, having some issue with the minister over there in Germany. And of course it was, of course it involves me also because I was the witness. So anyway, he made a very clear statement, very simple statement. Asking the minister, what do you believe of the thunders? The seven thunders in the book of Revelation. And it's always a mystery, as we know the book of Revelation has been a mystery to many Christians. Now Christians try the best to study the best to understand the book of Revelation. The symbols and everything that is there. So you can read many books about it, and a majority will say what they say about the seven the four horsemen, you understand. And the general expression of what all those trumpets is all about, or what the vows are all about, and so on and so forth. But here is one thing that we need to know, and it's true now about the seven thunders. If we do not know about the message for this end time, if we do not hear this message that we receive, like it was in the days of Jesus, if the people did not hear the message of John the Baptist, they would not know the time that the Messiah was already proclaimed. Is that right? You need to hear the messenger, what he have to say. Because the messenger points to something important. Now, so we need this message. Because this message that God has given us through the prophet, we will not be able to know, oh, how important it is for us to get out of Mother Harlot, get out of Mystery Babylon, and get out of all its well, as the Bible says, fornication. The Word of God has been hybrided, mixed with the words of men. And we've got to get out of that and come into the pure Word of God. And that's what the message is all about, to get us out and go back to the pure Word of God. So once we enter into the pure Word of God, we are looking at it, how that the Lord Jesus is guiding us to see the Word. Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread from heaven. I am the Word. If you eat of me, you have eternal life. Now all this that we see, how important it was to digest this Word. And that's why He wants us to get out of the system, get into the Word, eat of Him, so that we know. And then, once we are matured to the place where we are no more tossed to and fro, and then the final ministry will come. And that's when the seven thunders uttered their voices. And you know what brother says, so simply it's true. The world will not, if they do not know this truth, do not know what the message is all about, they do not know what the fivefold ministry were to do, how would they be able to hear? How would they be able to come to that place when that ministry, a short ministry, appear? Not true. Isn't that not true? As no problem, I'm saying it will be a very short and quick work of God. You see. So if we are not ready to hear, we won't be able to hear anyway. After all, Jesus Christ, my sheep, hear my voice. Ragnar. So if you are not with, as a sheep, you say, I'm a sheep of God, but you're not able to hear his voice, because there are thousands and thousands of voices out there in the system, out there in the religious world. And people don't want to get confused. Right? Listen. So, with all that is going on, all this shaking must take place. Alright. Now, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Lord said that the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Oh yeah. And you will not, in our eyes, in the book of Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. It will not be the might of Israel. It will not be the power of Israel that will build a house. It will be by my spirit. God will cause man to rise up to build without using forces. And that temple will be the glorious of Israel. But of course, like it always in the beginning, like it was when the first came down from Babylon, or well, Middle Persia, we say under the King Cyrus, to go down to Jerusalem to build it. They faced opposition, right? The Samaritans and all those that were living there, they were creating all the trouble and prevent them from building that temple. And some said, oh, we will help you. But you know, they know that these people are up to no good. You know. You understand that? So this will be a grand house. That's what in the book of Zechariah chapter 4 said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, greatness be unto you. Oh yeah. That which was prophesied in Zechariah was for the second temple. But what about the one that he picks over into the future? It will be beautiful. Alright? So now, as God has taken us out of denomination, we are out from a denomination in garbage. That's like was prophesied in the book of Zechariah. He says, oh, great mountain. You know what he's talking about? We take that as a type. You can say here, oh, great mountain. And referring to all these mountainous denomination, you know, high places, this. You understand? You know what a great mountain is. You see how, if you go to in the Philippines, well, there are two great mountains always out there. The Catholic Church and the Iglesia Ni Cristo. Well, very high, well, very high mountain. Yeah? Then you have, of course, not over there, but in other countries like Singapore, the Anglican mountain. Yeah? You have a charismatic mountain. Out there in Suntec, now they moved to every place, the mountain moved so many places that they are building themselves up. Oh, great mountain! As, you know, before Zerubbabel, before Christ, before the Spirit of the Lord, thou shalt become a plain. You will be brought low. Because why? Christ is coming to bring in the headstone. Huh? And he's going to cap who? He's going to cap the little mountain of God. You see? The true mountain that belongs to God, the bride. And that's what we are looking for. So, well, you know, we just remember one thing. As I said last week, God put his word above his name. Never his name above his word. He put his word above his name. Because before there was a name, he was the word. Right. Then he gave himself a name so to identify with you. Alright, so when we look at in chapter 11, we see about these two olive trees now as being the two candlesticks as well. They are just also the olive tree, the oil that produced, they are the one that have the oil, because Israel is the nation that received the oracles of God. And these two witnesses have that oil. They have the anointing. But yet they are also the candlestick because they are going to light up the Word of God. Our oil is just one thing, but the oil, you must have fire. Alright, to brighten it up and to show to the world the truth. So they are going to preach. And as you look here, the Bible shows us that there was, when they preached, those who want to kill him, they could not kill him. Right? But whatever method they would kill him, if they want to kill him with a gun, the one who wanted to kill him with a gun would likewise be killed by the same gun. If they want to kill him with a sword, they will likewise be killed by the same sword. You see, because they will be supernaturally protected by God until 3.5 years after, 42 months after, then they will be, then God will let them die, the death as they would be by these antichrists. Do you know why they will be killed? Because they are continually preaching every day and night in Israel. And by which time already, this force, this antichrist, will make a covenant. Do you remember that? Let's read the chart. You remember what it said. How did the book of Daniel chapter 9 said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 7 year period. You understand? The last of the 70 weeks prophesied in the book of Daniel. You understand that? So when the bride is gone, and because why? Because of the war of Ezekiel 28, 29. So there was so much destruction, somebody going to step in and say, okay, let's us have peace. And that's why the only person that can bring about peace is the Pope. Now, you know what I'm telling you this. Back when I was in the Assemblies of God, we are Pentecostals have identified who the Pope, who the Antichrist is. Because already has been identified back in the days of Luther. Back in the Reformation period. Even earlier before the Reformation period, they knew that this person who control and call himself somebody is that Antichrist spirit. But you know what happened today now? Back in the 70s, I would say last century. Even when I left, after I left the church, the Assemblies of God system, they were still saying, okay, that's the Pope. But today, no. Many churches say it's not the Pope. If you're going to look at any book of Revelation, the exposition of all this thing about who the Antichrist is, they say, many of them say, it's some political figure. Somebody's going to come up on it. Iran, or Persia. Yeah. There are a lot of their ideas because they only look at the Word of God in the Old Testament, not realizing that what you're looking at it, usually a prophecy, is dreadful. You understand that? Touch and shadow sometimes repeat itself. Like we look at Israel being, well, natural Israel. We look at the church as spiritual Israel. Israel is the natural church. The church of Christ is the spiritual church. You understand? Yes. And many of the promises that God promised Israel is also given to the spiritual church. You know. So when we look at today how people in the city, in the churches, they just wanted to be in oneness. They wanted to be cooperating together. So that's why they joined ecumenism. That's why they became member of the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches. And this is the two great body, ecumenism, ecumenism, that actually is an image to that beast that came out of Rome. You know, people don't seem to realize it, but they are just doing fulfilling scripture and not knowing it. That's why we, you know, if I would, you know, sometimes, I don't know whether I ever try asking Christian friends. If you ask them, if Jesus came and walked among you, would you be able to recognize him? He said, yeah, of course, what? No, they never talk like this. Yeah, of course. Really? Now, if I'm asking you that, if Jesus literally comes down from heaven and work in Singapore. Maybe you saw him out there, you know, he's doing something out there in Orchard Road. Would you be able to recognize that this is Jesus? Huh? When Jesus was on earth, he was in the marketplaces, even to heal the sick and all that, people didn't even know who he was. He was so common. He was a common man. Remember that? The common man, not the uncommon man. The uncommon men are the people who knows nothing. Only because they are so uncommon, they're out there somewhere in the high structure of life, in high places, earning big money. And then they know next to nothing. While I was watching this documentary, you know, The Dog Whisperer. You know how the people keep dogs and the dog misbehave, and Sister Milan said, no, I'm not coming to train the dog, I'm going to train me the owner. And it's true, isn't it? And he said that, there was a couple, a husband and wife, you know, and the wife, the dog and the husband is the one trying to deal with the dog and all these things. And Sister Milan said, you know, he doesn't take a Harvard scholar, you know, because he's a Harvard scholar, it doesn't mean that he knows how to deal with dogs. Is that not true? Well, some people say, I've been to university, I'm from Michigan, MIT, TIY, Harvard, MICIE, whatever you have. You know, so what's this big deal about university? Okay, you got PhD, PhD. Does it mean that you know the truth? Look at the Pharisees. They're all trained. They all got their PhD. And yet Jesus Christ was there. They don't even recognize who this was. Isn't it? Yeah. They don't know that Jesus was the Messiah. How sad is it? See? You know, so when we recognize what the Bible said, that the man who is going to come make peace cannot be any political figure at all. He's basically a religious guy, but he is also a political figure. Because in order for you to be able to have a control, you must be able to please people who are religious, as well as to please people who are political. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, that's true. If you want to solve a problem in the world, that's why in Singapore we don't allow, you know, we cannot take religion, mixed politics, right? You understand? Because what religion are you going to use? You can't, because there's so many religions, right? But the Pope is the only person in the world that the Muslims receive, the Buddhists receive, the Hindus receive, right? Isn't that so? Zoroastrianism, I can't remember how to pronounce that word. Start with Z-O-A, Zoroastrian something. And then you have the Anglican receiving him, the Pentecostal even receiving him. There are so many, you've seen the paper recently in Singapore, yeah. They all wanted to have harmony. Yes, of course in Singapore we respect all religion. Sure, we do. But the faith cannot be mixed. Right? We can show respect to each other, but faith cannot be mixed. But the only way that can solve the world peace is that there must be a man who can unite religion together, at the same time, unite the minds of the politician. And that's why the book of Daniel said so that he shall confirm them, the cover of many for 1 week. Try me. Try me for 1 week and see whether I can make peace. Of course, peace came, isn't it? Peace came. But the two prophets just troubled them too much. Huh? The two prophets will be preaching against the system, warning the people about that system. Right? Well, there's supposed to be peace. Oh, no rain! Suddenly there's no rain. And then everybody go up to the person who is in charge. And we have no rain, so I'm going to get crops. We have no food. Water turned to blood.
And you know, it's all the red tides.
You cannot drink the water. And these two brothers are going to preach. So signs and wonders, they're going to preach so hard that I can tell, you know, the people realize that the peacemaker cannot solve the situation because of these two men. They're troubling them so much, especially the Antichrist. But in the meantime, while they are doing that, he wakes up the spiritual mind of the 144,000. The 144,000 realize it, wow! What these two men are doing, they are showing us who Yahweh really is, who our Messiah really is. It's the very one that our forefather crucified. Now they have the revelation and they were sealed with the Father's name in their forehead. Yes. That's the purpose of that. Two prophets preaching, calling out the 144,000. So he takes 42 months of preaching. 42 months. They really preach, don't they? Because the 3.5 years is very short, huh? They probably preach, and then after they go out somewhere, perhaps in the wilderness somewhere, like John the Baptist, you know, or in the cave somewhere. And then after they come out again, perhaps if they were to preach and then they go out somewhere and relax in a cave, and here you've got some of those guys who wanted to kill them. You know how the fire came down from heaven in the days of Elijah, came upon the people, just fall down from heaven? Yeah. All this miracle will happen. You want to see that? Do you want to see that? Yes or no? Oh, okay, that's good. I tell you want to see that. If you stay behind, you can see what's going on. You can see them in the CNN or in cable vision. You know, you can subscribe to StarHub or M1 or Singtel, huh? And you can see that. Everything will be live on television. You see. So, they will trouble them. Let us continue with the verse of chapter 11. Alright. And when they have, verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, I just want to briefly just explain the word beast here, because later on we can understand it later on. But when you talk about the beast, we're not talking about a person. We're talking about a spirit. You understand? We talk about the beastly system. Alright? Remember China is supposed to be a dragon. The red dragon, not China dragon. So that China is represented by the dragon. Russia is represented by the bear. And China is represented by the dragon is very true. They're very sweet. In China, its economy is eating all the other economy. And then Russia is always like a bear lumbling. You know, big fat bear. Economy is still not there for them. Huh? Yeah, and then America is represented by the eagle. So America, when they raise up, they raise up very fast. And then of course, one of the technology the America have in recent war is always their plane. The stealth they built and all that stuff. You see. So actually, animals, in symbol of the country, represent a lot of things. And Singapore here is represent a lion and a fish. Right. Isn't it? So, you know, we are lion city, which is in the way that we roar. And the world pay attention to a little drop, to a little red dot in the map that came out of the sea. Right? You know, but they think they can eat us like a fish. Not forgetting that we are also a lion. I mean, the representation of animals of nation, actually, is very practical. You can see how they evolve. Alright, so, now, so when they shall finish the testimony, means when they have completely testified all that they need to hear, the people need to hear, and that the 144,000 will have been sealed, there will be, by the time of course, it will be 42 months. Right? Do you understand that? You'll be 42 months already. And soul, but then Hakam said the beast that ascended upon the bottomless pit means is the spirit. Okay? It came upon bottomless pit means to say that it is a satanic spirit. And that satanic spirit is a spirit that controls the religion. Okay? Alright? What we said? Mother Harlot. That mystery Babylon. You understand that? Okay? And she is the one that rise up in Europe. The first beast. And which is controlled by Vatican. Vatican is the woman that sits upon her to control. It's a spirit which Roman Catholic control. Alright? How that the spirit from the bottomless pit use this system, or use the Pope, use this hierarchy system, or those men up there, to control the church, to control the politics in Europe. Alright? And so, he says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that sent off a bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. And you know, I already told you that what the Bible means here, after they were killed, the body was lying on the street for 3.5 days. I mean, for 3.5 days. Alright? And he said the great city called, spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. You know, they refer to Jerusalem. Okay? It referred to Jerusalem. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city that is Jerusalem. Not anywhere else, that is in Jerusalem. Which spiritually is called Sodom. Why? Because Sodom is the name of a city where we have the Dead Sea area. Remember? Right? And why is that city called Sodom? Why? The name is called Sodom because of their wicked nurse that they have, the evil life that they live, their homosexuality and lesbianism, they have bestiary and all sorts of things. Alright? That's where the word Sodom or sodomy arrived from, the word Sodom. So spiritually Sodom means to say that Jerusalem has become like a man committing sodomy. You understand? Jerusalem is a city of peace. But when this man comes to make peace, he made peace with Mary, and all these rabbis, these religious figures say, okay, we have peace, we have peace. But they are making peace with an antichrist, a man of sin, who holds the word of God. Well, he can hold the word of God in his hand. But what he preaches to come out from his mouth is not the word of God. It's a man who is evil. You take the word of God, you mix it with man's word, it's always called fornication. And so now Jerusalem becomes a city that has been sodomized. And it's also called Egypt. What is Egypt? Egypt is a place, is the first place where, you know, Israel became slave. You know, so the children of Israel become under slave to this system. A system that blatantly giving false teaching, false hope, using the word of God, corrupt the word of God, spiritual fornication, and then at the same time hold the people in bondage. And that's why a lot of people in Christianity today, they don't realize that they are in bondage. Huh? And that's why there is a tract that is written, a little article written, you know, the strangest prison in the world. It has no bar. And people are walking around freely, huh? But they don't realize that they are a prisoner. A prisoner of what? Prisoner of a system that is corrupt. A system that is foul. A system that is against God. But they are so much subjected to that system in tradition, in ritual, and thinking that they are believing in God. They have freedom. And you know what? How many of you here are liberated? Are you not liberated? Yes. You see? Because the truth set us free. But there are people out there who just go to religion and have, they don't realize that they are not free, they are in bondage. They are told to say Hail Mary 5 times, they are told to sprinkle this water here, you know, to burn candles, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You know, or go to temple or wherever they will go, you know, to offer incense and, well, do some sacrifices. But not knowing that they are actually under bondage. You know, under a subjection of superstition. They don't realize that they come under that. You know. You see, I when I was young about this idol worship, people kind of tell me all kinds of things. You know, you take 3 joysticks. I don't know what they represent now, I don't know. 3 joysticks, minimum 3 joysticks. Some say only 1 joystick. 1 joystick, like you are respecting somebody who died, you just put 1 joystick. And then you want to pray to the God of heaven or some minimum is 3 joysticks or something. And then some of them say that's not enough, a whole bunch of joysticks. You understand? And how many times you must bow and kowtow and all these things? And there are all kinds of, they think that they do worship. After all, people think that they are real. They're caught in this paganism. Also in Africa, the voodooism is the same thing. And voodooism in Africa is very powerful because they are in the what we call the dark art. And over in India, there's so many hundreds of thousands of gods. You know, the temples and all of that. And in Delhi, out there, you were this, what they call Taj Mahal. I was told, you know, I wanted to go and see how so great is Taj Mahal. And the grocery is all the place is very dirty anyway. And that even outside, they say, you want to go, brother. And you see all the sculpture they draw about sex and all that thing that they worship. Well, yeah. You know, all the figurine that they carve, string all the naked woman, naked man, in a sexual action, and all that they do. I said, what is this? Even Taj Mahal is a building for the love of the prince, right? He built that Taj Mahal. You know. And many times you can see a lot of things that are depicted on temples is scary. It's scary. People, they are living in the darkness. Don't realize that. But we thank God for the truth, and the truth set us free. He opened our eyes to see who we are and where we are going. Amen. Alright. Let us continue here. And there, verse 9, and there are the people in kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead body 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Of course, the whole world will see them, as I said, via cable, satellite, television broadcast live. And there are the people in kindred and tongue and nations shall see their body 3 days. Verse 10. And there they dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after, no, you see how that is? What is the tormented? What did they say that, the Bible here said that they were tormented by these 2 prophets because of their preaching? Not only by their preaching, but by their signs and miracles. They stopped the rain. They turned water to blood. Because God wanted to demonstrate to Israel what Moses did back then, what Elijah did back then. And that's when 144,000, their eyes will be opened. But there were the renegade Jews. Just as it was there, as it was in the days of those prophets of old. They would not believe. You understand that, don't you? You see. God came to save those that He already foreknew. Foreknown from the beginning of the world, before you were even was created. You see. He had to see the 144,000. Wake them up. I don't know how many people here in Singapore there are foreknown for this bright group. That they will see the truth and come in. Look at Lebanon. Brother God has to deal with, you know, just to take a man who was, well, he was a Lebanese, living in America, got himself into all the mess of being a drug dealer, and a mafia. Right? And he wanted to kill himself. And God would not allow him to kill himself. You know, do you think things are coincident? No. He wanted to kill himself. The television here was a preacher that happened to, the television was on, and he wanted to kill himself, and the preacher was saying, "Hey, you man, don't kill yourself." Wow, at that moment, just like that, when you hear it, your hair on the skin was stuck on air too. What do you understand that? But he found the Lord. And brother, he had found the Lord. Came back to Lebanon. Huh? Wow, you see? He wanted to leave the crowd. He joined his church, joined his movement, helped his people, you know, evangelical. But the message came to him. And he opened his eyes. And all those years before he came to the message, you know, nothing concrete came about. But even though he came to the message, but was make a mess by this missionary from America, until he came to our website, and when he came to our website, he came here, he went back, I went twice, and things are changing. Now here is a group there, and people's lives have changed. Ever so often, I go, well, you know, we want to talk on Skype, but never he got a chance to come because he has been so busy, he couldn't even sleep, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day, you know. And sometimes he's on Skype saying now, he's on Skype trying to, he's talking to one of the friends over there in America from 10 to 1 a.m. he will talk. And sometimes he go out and talk to people also in the night and he come back. And brother, when brother was there, he said, brother, I never have good night's sleep also because they went to share and talk into the night. And now so many people are coming to the Lord. And many of those that come to the Lord, they are seeking His help, happen to be cancer patients. People have cancer. Many of them have cancer. Wow, they came to Him. I mean, John always, in one incident or one case, how they came to Him. They didn't expect Him, you know, He came. A man who owed him money, but yet he forgave him. And he said, come on in and talk to him about the Lord. And the people listen to the simple testimony of a man. It's not about your grandeur. You know how the television in America, how these television evangelists come into the picture? They come in like dressed, you know how they dress some of them? Huh? Big stage with choirs, singers, and they come up like a grand, big, important preacher, prophet, or something. Today's prophet. You look at Brother Brown, how he appeared on the video, you see how he talked, right? He came in as a humble man. But today, no, it's a show. It's a show. Charismaticism is a show. And why? They fill the church thousands and thousands. Oh. Your man, some guy will meet me probably one day and say, how big is the church now, brother again? Oh, about 30. What? I just started 5 years ago, I got 5,000 already. He said, yeah, go ahead and 5,000. I said, how many did Jesus have? This 3.5 years of ministry. How many did Jesus have? Tell me. You want to have big group? Go ahead. Easy to get big group. Just preach gospel that satisfy the people. Don't make them upset. Right? Don't make them upset. Nobody likes to be upset. And a preacher is preaching about me. What's wrong? I can't cut my hair. I can't wear high heels. I can't bend my face. What's wrong? You know, the Bible said that I cannot do it. You should not actually hear it. It's that. Let us face the fact. Either you are going to be a dirt, a scumbag, as the medical use the word scumbag, that are not washed and remain a scumbag, fill the dirt, then you're going to die and you'll remain behind here. Do you know that? Oh no, oh, you want to be a scumbag that's going to be washed and dig clean. And once you are clean, you are no longer a scumbag. You don't go and collect dirt. Lord Krishna sing this song. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Really? You know, Lord Krishna sing like that, right? No, men are making sing, I'm just a passing through. When you go shopping, I'm just a passing through. And what is that selling? Huh? And you start buying it, you start to collect all these things, you know. You walk down and, then the husband or the wife, you know, sometimes you go up, husband, wife, come on, honey, oh, I'm just passing through. And you stop buying this brand, by the time you go back, it's full of things. And we are passing through and now we collect all these things. Cosmetic, miniskirt, bikini, gold, jewel. What are we collecting? Be as simple as God wanted to be. You know, truly, truly, when you confess to be a Christian, live the life. That's why, as I said, when Jesus was such a simple man, in the marketplace as he went, nobody knows who he is. Right? People, you know, in a crowded place, like you, maybe you, soldier, you rob each other, touching each other. They don't even know that this was the Messiah. So if you was walking down the road in Orchard and you just touch him, do you know that he's Jesus? You would know too. You see. Till we come to knowledge of the truth, how God is going to show us, what he's going to show us. And especially in this end time, these things are the things we see and we are expecting this to be. But we don't want to be here on this earth. We want to go. Huh? So these two prophets will preach 42 months, and when they'll be killed, the people will rejoice. Sure, now they can get married. They can become very happy. Surely why not? After all, they are dead. They're not going to call and stop the sky, the heaven from raining. They're not going to turn the water to blood against us that we cannot drink with no water. You know, I don't know what else they will call fire from heaven. Anything they will call. You see, they are gone. So we are happy now. We celebrate. The population sing a song about them being dead. You know, they'll be happy, happy, happy. Their so two prophets are gone and dead, and they will rejoice and give one to another. Oh yes, verse 11. But after 3 days and a half, the Spirit from God entered into them and stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Oh, my. How would that be? How do you like that? How you like that? Everybody watching on the television, big 150-inch television in the home, through the whole world, and watching, hey, yeah, man, that guy is dead. Good, those guys dead. They could see the body. Dead. 3 and a half. By the time it stinks, yeah? That's confirmation it stinks. You know. They probably look at the body. The cameraman probably is a bit closer. You look at the skin, the first day, second day, yeah, the hole is coming out, you guys can see the scar. You know what I mean? All sinking already, and you look at a skeleton. The television crew probably zoom in there, and suddenly, after that, 3 and a half days, this body starts to move. You know, how do you feel when you're watching it? Yeah, did this move? Huh? And you never know, the newscaster said, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching a phenomenon. This is the walking dead, the zombies. Coming to life. You know, with all the thing, when they start standing up, they probably thought they're a zombie. But they don't act like a zombie. What did the Bible say next? He says, entered to them this, and their fear, great fear fall upon them, the soul of them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither! Now the television camera focused on them, and then they saw them going up. Hey! What is this? Now is when they could see. all translation, resurrection of the body to go up is never made public. But this is public. And they shall see. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And the enemies beheld them. Now they could see. Oh! Now they know that these two prophets are like aliens to them. And something supernatural. And great fear will come upon them, sure. And the Bible said, in the same hour was there a great earthquake. And the third part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men, 7,000, and the remnant were afraid. And give glory to the God of heaven. Oh, at the same time, there is a great earthquake. I always tell you this before. Whenever there is a resurrection, a translation, or something happened like that, there must have been public by the earthquake. Do you understand that? Perhaps the Bible said here, you know, and they heard a voice from heaven saying, come and say, and the same hour there was a great earthquake. The same hour could be not necessarily the hour that they go up. It could be in the whole event that when the body began to move, alright, come alive, the earthquake happened. And they're watching, the world's watching. And in this earthquake, it says a tenth part of the city fell. And slain 7,000 men. A tenth part of the city fell. It means, wow, a tenth part of the city is destroyed. Building collapsed. So it's quite a shaking. And the rest of the people in the city, of course, they become frightened. What about the people of the world when they see what was going on? You don't want to be around there to do that, don't you? Now, just to give you a little background regarding this, why we believe that the Pope is the Antichrist. As you all know in history, already back in history, in the early church age, after you enter into, well, the Nicolaitan spirit came in, alright? Less than 20 years or so, the Antichrist or the Nicolaitan spirit came in. And when it starts to control the people, it places a man above everybody else. You understand that? You see, and the Bible called it the mystery of iniquity. Right? But now, there is this minister, which we all know, his name is Rao Awesome, who came to Singapore back then. And he had been preaching all over the world where he went, that the very church has a pastor. That church is under the Nicolaitan spirit. And because he wrote the booklet called Mystery of Iniquity, I still have the copy, he said that there should not be a pastor in the church. The church should have elders, not pastor. The church should have a number of elders running the church. And he said, therefore, if there is a pastor, that church is operating under a Nicolaitan spirit. It should not have. And then from that one, it draws a doctrine that there is no such thing as a fivefold ministry. There is only a fourfold ministry. That's how he concluded. And he takes it from the Bible of Ephesians 4. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, and while we read from verse 11, and he gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So what he's saying is that this is not talking about the fivefold ministry, he's talking about the fourfold ministry. Beside that, he said, see, the Bible said, and some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and he said, and some teachers. He said, some pastor and teachers, and therefore, pastor and teacher is only one fold, not two separate groups, but just one. And in his booklet, he wrote that, and they will not talk to him on the phone. He said, Brother Gann, this book that I have written have been read by theologians. And if a Methodist church told me that what he wrote was true, that the word Kai, Pastor Kai, teacher, it means one. A man who is both pastor and teacher. You understand? Now, in that I wrote him a reply. That if you look anywhere, very common in the gospel, the Bible said, the Pharisees and the scribe. The Pharisees and the scribe. Are they one group or are they two separate groups? Are they? It's the same word Kai, in the Greek word, it's written like K-A-I, Kai, means to, is and, A-N-D. Like the word and in the Old Testament, we see the word in Hebrew is bab, B-A-B, bab. So I ask him, are they one group or two separate guys? Are the Pharisees and the scribe two same person, same people, a person who is a Pharisee and the same guy described? Is it? You have no answer for that. I said, you know what a scribe is? You know what a scribe is? I'm a scribe. I'm a writer. A scribe is one who script. Abraham is not a scribe. He was not a scribe. He was only an orator, one who speak only. You understand? Well, what is a Pharisee? A Pharisee is a group of men who is educated in their doctrine. Right? What is a Sadducee? They are also another group. And they are not scribes. Yes, a scribe can be a Pharisee. A scribe also can be a Sadducee. Right or not?
Sure.
And yet the Bible used the word pastor. You know what he said? Now this is why we have people like that who think they are smart. Just because they know something about, I don't know what they know. Then they write such book like this. The word pastor is a Latin word. Actually, the real word that should be translated is shepherd. Right? You know shepherd? That's the word shepherd should be used. Poignant. Shepherd. And he said in the book, you know, we shouldn't be like the Antichrist system. When a man will address their priest, Father, Father, oh Father, Father, oh Padre, Padre. You know that, don't you? Yes? And so, is that Christians never call a pastor, oh Pastor, Pastor, oh Pastor, Pastor. Oh, he didn't say, oh Pastor. Is wrong to call Pastor? Then what do you call apostle? Apostle. Evangelist? Evangelist. It's wrong also. Who would it be? Oh, prophet of God. Prophet. Prophet. Is that wrong to call you a prophet? You know, that's how people come up with this strange thing. Just because the Catholic call their priest, oh, Father, Father. So for us to call a person, oh, Pastor, Pastor. Oh, Apostle, Apostle. Oh, Prophet, Prophet. Oh, Evangelist. Is it wrong? Was it not Elijah who said this, oh my father, the chariot? Huh? And that's why the Hebrew, of course, the Catholic Church used the word Father, Father, because the Holy Father, they address it to the Pope. And that's, of course, we know it's wrong. But if a man is a shepherd, you call him, oh shepherd. Is that wrong? Oh, my teacher. Is that wrong? oh, my apostle. Is that wrong? It's a position that they hold. My principal, my teacher, whatever. My mechanic. My engineer. What's wrong with calling them by the titles? You say, how sad it is for a man with so much, think about so much education that they have. They don't even understand that the Bible is non-English. Always remember that. And also realize that even though it's Greek and Hebrew, it is not written by men. It's the expression of the Holy Spirit to carry a truth across to you. And if you don't have the ear of the Spirit to hear, you will hear what the man wrote. And not what the Spirit wrote. It's true, isn't it so? So when we look into the Scripture, we see, as you pass on, the Nicolaitan Spirit put a man on high above everyone else. The Bible has the word bishop. Is that right? Yes or no? Can we call a person a bishop today? Yes. Only that the word bishop has become misused, like in the Anglican Church. In the Lutheran Church, they use the word bishop until that it seems the word bishop doesn't sound good anymore. In Anderson? Right. I always remember of something that Brother Nice was telling me and Brother David Cotton. The other day, only a few days ago. Somebody who knew him long time ago met him on the street. Bishop, how are you? Brother Bishop Nice. Brother Nice says to him, oh, I'm no longer bishop in the PNW. Because he thought he was. And he talked about, then he related to him how that somebody prophesied 14 years ago to him, which came to pass. And he said this to the brother, oh, I'm so glad you're not a bishop anymore of this PNW. Do you remember what happened 14 years ago? And he was a young man then. He wasn't even married. He was with the PNW. And they were having a big convention going on. And they invited the one, the UPC or whatever they could go, you see. And Brother Nice, of course, was being with PNW, was there. And then he said that, the young man said, do you remember? Brother Nice couldn't recall until he relayed to him what happened. He said to Brother Nice, your father's there. We were all sitting there. Here was this man by the name of thing. His name was Andy or something. Brother Andy. He's not with the PNW. He was a minister who was with a UPC or something. You know. He was there. He's sitting there with Mount there. And he looked at Brother Nice. He said, Brother Nice, you don't belong here. This is not the place for you. But one day, there will come a Chinese man. And he is flying a helicopter. And he will pick you up. And he will take you to where all those who want to go, far up above the cloud and beyond. And Brother Nice says to me, they told us, and he remembered. A man over there who was anointed, had this gift of knowledge or prophecy, whatever. And could relate something like that for it to happen. I mean, relate that and God allowed it to be related, and then it took place. So, when we look at the scripture, you can use the word bishop, but don't use the word archbishop. Right? But then you know what happened. They put the one above the bishop and put the word archbishop. And then from archbishop, they create others. Cardinal, Monsignor, what, I don't know what else. I don't know whether it's an archmonsignor. Huh? And then the poor one who called himself Papa. And that's how he formed. And the Bible tells us in Thessalonians that he will sit himself there as the God is being worshipped. And you know something here? Here was I came across this on the YouTube. On the 12th of October, 1988,
In the Parliament sitting, it's trouble. France. The Pope was there. Yan Paisley. You know who Yan Paisley is? You probably don't know. Back in those days, back in the 60s, 70s, when I read about the ecumenical movement, and Yan Paisley was the one who was attacking all this. Very strong. You know? He was so much against, he's an Irishman in Ireland. But he was so much against the Catholic system. As a preacher, then he became a politician, which he shouldn't be anyway. So when they were having this parliament sitting in Strasbourg, France in 1988, he was there. So when the Pope took the stand, what was the previous Pope's name? Pope John, right? He took the stand and began to hear his speech. Yan Paisley stood up with signs, he being the Antichrist. As the Antichrist will not hear you, will not accept you. You go to the internet, in the YouTube. You know? And then saw the man over there snatch away the paper, he produced some more. You see? And King was speaking against the Pope and all this, the Pope just remained silent. He wasn't happy, of course, but he remained silent. He has to act like a man of peace. He has to be. He must give his composure. You know? Yeah, but he gave up shouting, and they have to drag him out. You know? Now, you see the people in that room know that the Pope is the Antichrist? No, won't know. Right enough. Until the day when he sits, now we know, spiritually we know he is. The one who sits on that Vatican is in the spirit of Antichrist. But the people in the world will not know until he is revealed. Until he is revealed. Well, yeah. You see. And that's when he breaks the covenant and start going after. I mean, already the peace in the world we know. You know, those who are left behind knew that when they see this peace treaty take place, they know uh-oh. Right? But when he breaks the covenant and go after the children of Israel and after anybody who refused to hearken to him to be put to death, then they will find too late. But right now we already see how that the Spirit of God show it to us all those years back. That's why the Reformation, they fought against that spirit. How strong they fought against that spirit. And without the Reformation, I tell you this, we wouldn't have a Bible that we can freely read in the world today. Remember this. They crammed the Bible down. They wouldn't allow anybody to read the Bible or any religious book. They put to death. You know? So let us all be faithful unto death. So when the true prophet is resurrected, remember there is a special resurrection just for the two witnesses. Alright? And of course, by the end of it, ended 42 months, the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe in Israel will be sealed and will be completed. And then we realize that the merciful voice of God then will remain silent. Because the second war is coming. Huh? You understand? And things are going to happen because the Antichrist will go after everyone. And those who want to remain to receive salvation, they must die as a martyr. They must die and not take the mark of the beast. You want to see that? No. The Lord bless you. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy word of life. Keep us, Lord, always in tune to your word. Let us always be alert, Father. Let our spirit, O Father, always be listening to that still small voice speaking to us, Father, wherever we are. And to be aware of the time that we live and the prophecies that come to pass, O Lord, as it is unfold to us from day to day, what we see, Father, in the news. Lord, you told us to be
prayerful, watchful, and in supplication, help us to do just that, Lord. We thank you, we commit this day to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.